CliffCentral.com.
Yep, we're live. And things are happening, and it is the... What is it? Is it the last week or the second last week of November? I can never work it out.
It's the 39th of
August. That's right. It's the 39th of August. Oh, 39th of August at 28 hours and 73 minutes. Is that about right? And it's Froms Day. It's not Monday. I screwed that up.
No.
Whatever the hell that means. All right. So, we are coming to you live from our various houses, from the studios in Johannesburg. Where the hell are you, Leanne? I haven't seen this before. What's going on there?
I'm at my parents' house.
Oh,
I'm at the parentals, the focuses.
Who's that that very old painting behind you? Who is that? Your great-great-great-great-grandfather, Theophilus.
Is there someone behind me?
Yeah, look in the painting, you idiot.
I can't see anything. Maybe it's a ghost.
It's a ghost.
So, yeah, this is a painting that my mom and dad have had for years.
Yeah. It's a small person.
It's a little child, yes. Very creepy.
It's not a dwarf, is it?
No, it's a little child, and the eyes follow you around when you move.
That's so fantastic. Yeah.
Happens to be above where I need to sit today.
Okay.
So he'll be watching me. His name is Samulophus Philopopus.
So I wasn't far off. Okay, very good.
No, very, very close.
Samulius for Philopolis. Oh, I had such a nice chilled weekend. I don't know about you guys. It was really, really cool. Yesterday was probably the laziest day of the 21st century for me. God, I was lazy.
Goodness me.
I did just about zero. Not zero, but just about. Pretty wild.
Did you do it lying at a horizontal angle?
Oh, for much of the day, yeah. No, for much of the day.
Good.
Yeah. Unashamedly, it was a lazy, lazy day. I woke up.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I woke up quite early. I woke up at like 7:30, but then I got right back into bed because I woke up, peed, decided I'd brush my teeth thinking I'd start the day. And then while I was brushing my teeth, I was like, why am I rushing into this day? I don't have to do anything. It's Sunday. It's rainy outside. I'm going to stay here. And after I'd finished brushing my teeth, I got straight back into bed. And you know when you doze off and you have like that amazing sort of twilight sleep, you know, where you fall in and out of dreams and you're kind of not really conscious but not unconscious. And it was just so nice. And I just stayed there as long as I could. Was fantastic.
Oh, I thought you were having a dream about being a Wolverine or whatever those Twilight kids are.
No.
That's right. That's
what you meant. No vampire or Wolverine dreams. No, none of those. But
you got the order right.
Yes.
You woke up and weed, because sometimes that can happen the opposite way.
you wee and then wake up.
Yeah.
No, luckily,
wake up with a start.
Jesus, can you imagine? I mean, that's got to be one of the most humiliating things. Because if you're a child and you're a bedwetter, you know, past a certain age, you have to be sent to the doctor and you have to like have a psychologist figure out why you're doing that stuff. I have a friend.
And they get all Freudian on you as well.
Yeah, I have a friend whose kid is a bedwetter, and you know, when they talk about it, I always feel so sorry for the kid because they're talking about him like a science experiment. And it must be horrible, but if you're an old person and that happens to you, oof, that's got to suck.
Well, it's going to happen to all of us.
Thanks.
I mean, there have been many times where I dream I'm usually in a very large hall or like a labyrinth where it's very dark and there are these cement walls.
Yeah.
And there are thousands of toilets, but none of them are private. And there are people milling around. And every single toilet is brimming over with shit. And the floors are at least an inch deep in water and sewage. And I'm always barefoot.
This is a regular dream?
Very, very regular. And I'm always barefoot, and I'm trying to find dry pieces of cement to like step on to with a toe or two.
That sounds horrendous.
And there are things in the bath that look like the insides of animals, and the stench and the flies. And I'm desperate to go to the loo. Why I don't just stand there and wee, I don't know, instead of having to find a toilet. I'll finally find one, and I start the procedure, and then I realize that I'm dreaming. I'm not awake.
Oh my God, how horrible. That's good. That ranks right up there as among the most terrifying dreams I think anyone could have. Just rooms full of
awful.
Areas full of shit and toilets brimming over and people milling around. It's just, that sounds so horrible.
Or sometimes it'll be completely sanitary and we're sitting somewhere in a social setting and, people I don't really know, like if you go to a Brian, you don't really know everyone. And I'm sitting on a chair and all of a sudden the chair is a toilet. And I start going to the loo, but for more than just a wee. And I look around and no one else is doing this, but I'm already halfway.
Oh, my God.
And then the guy next to me strikes up a conversation and I'm trying to hide the fact that I'm farting and trying to find toilet paper.
You have some serious things to unpack. Oh, my God. You've got some issues to unpack. Have you ever been for like therapy?
What do you mean, Gareth?
You did, right?
My psychiatrist, I pay for her holidays with my sessions. What are you talking about?
I forgot. Bonella, weren't you in Cape Town?
I was in Cape Town.
How was it?
Unbelievable weather. Hey?
It great?
And it's in full swing. Wow. I mean, yeah, the Atlantic seaboard's cooking. I went for a coffee. Oh, yeah, it's back. Cape Town's back.
That place.
If you're gonna go on holiday and do it right, it's gonna be there. Unfortunately, I had to work, so I couldn't really move and groove and see people.
Yeah,
as I was only there for one day. But geez, like unbelievable, just unbelievable what Cape Town is up to. Although, having said that, I just want to give them some feedback.
Yes.
Why are their shops open? Like, if I want to go for a coffee at 7 in the morning, you can't do it in Cape Town.
No, you can't. Nothing's open.
Like, open your stores. You're a tourist center.
No, they
like,
they
if
don't.
If I'm a tourist, I want to get moving and grooving. So, unbelievable. But other than that.
That's because the whole town really only wakes up at 9. I mean, people they may be getting ready in their houses, but they only start going to places and doing stuff at 9. Am I right? It's just a very slow riser.
Probably.
That's what I think.
Yeah, but Bolelo, you're right. I mean, you go to any European country and you're able to get a coffee almost 24/7. It's geared for tourists.
Well, they'll blame COVID now. They'll say, oh, no, not anymore. Because, you know. I was very disturbed. I spoke to... When I was on that weekend away, I spoke to one of the girls who's just been to Amsterdam, and she said they're moving the red light district out of Amsterdam Central. And it's been there for about 400 years, so I think that's a bit of a travesty, frankly.
Why are they
kicking the hookers? They're kicking the hookers out but keeping the bankers in. I mean, to me, the one group are just dishonest scavengers who, you know... Who was
there first?
Exactly, the hookers. Leave the hookers. Leave the hookers alone. Anyway, so someone showed me this app where you can make yourself old and you can make yourself fat and you can make yourself the other gender and all this stuff. So I decided last night I would, for fun on the show this morning, show you what I would look like if I were a fat, gender fluid feminist lesbian. Do you want to see what I'd look like?
I don't know. Okay.
No, I think you do. Here
right.
we go.
Yes.
There. Isn't that great? I thought you might enjoy that. With purple hair. So I gave myself like...
I think that's your favorite part because we know how you feel about people who have hair of unnatural colors.
How do you
colors.
Like that? And I'm wearing quite manly clothes. You like that, Mbolelo, huh? He likes it. Look at him. He's laughing his tits off. Bulala loves it.
They're quite like, usually they're quite like pixelated and blurry, but this is spot on. It's like very good. Yeah, it looks like a real photo.
That's so realistic.
I like what you've done with your eyebrows. As
yeah,
well.
they made my eyebrows much darker. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit of filling in there.
So I can use that as my profile picture and put my pronouns on, and then people will leave me the fuck alone when it comes to this gender bullshit.
That's awesome.
What are you doing? You're not supporting us? It's a great story. LGBTQ plus community. I had such fun making that last night. I started laughing in bed. I thought, I can't wait to show Leanne and Mbolelo tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Anyway.
What's the app called? And do you have to pay for it?
It's called FaceApp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, FaceApp. And you could even take that picture of that that creepy little boy, Simonopoulos Philippopoulos, behind you. And you could even turn him into like a girl or... Well, he looks like a girl already because he's wearing like 17th century clothing.
He's completely non-binary. Yeah.
But it's so funny. You can make yourself fat or thin. So my favorite thing is to... You remember there was a similar app, but I don't think it exists anymore because people just downloaded it for free. And you could take anyone and make them extremely fat, and you can like do... the fat picture and then make that even fatter. So they eventually end up looking like Jabba the Hutt. It's hilarious. It's one of my favorite things. And then you say, geez, what happened to you? You send them a picture of themselves. It's like, what happened to you? You used to be in good shape. Anyway, I thought that would be a fun way to start the day today. We've got a couple of things on the agenda, and we've also got Dr. Hanan on this morning, which is always good. He's always interesting and fun to talk to, and it's one of the things I look forward to on a Monday. Collectomania is coming up a little bit later on. But we are almost at the end of the year. I'm just going to quickly take a look at my diary and just see here. My diary. I'm just going to have a look. We've got, okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 4 weekends, and then it's Christmas. 5 weekends, and then it's Christmas. Jesus.
Thank goodness for online shopping. Remember the days when we used to spend the whole day at a shopping center buying gifts and crossing off lists?
I'm not doing that.
And putting stuff in the car.
I don't want to go to shopping centers. I've never liked them. Mm-mm. I don't like it's Black Friday this week, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. Oh, God. Must be.
Listen.
29th, isn't it?
You could not get wild horses couldn't get me to go to the shops on Black Friday. I was talking to someone about this. There's no special that could drive me there. Nothing. Nothing.
Not even wild horses.
Not even wild horses on special. So that's, I'm avoiding that. I'm not going to, any of there's stuff that you are supposed to have to see, like clothes. I'm a little bit nervous to buy clothes online. Because you never really know what you're going to get, and it might not fit properly, and it might be shoes. I don't mind because I know my shoe size, and shoes are shoes. So I can get those. But clothes, I'm a bit nervous. The rest, I'll shop online. Frankly, what do you need? As long as you're not buying from like Wish, where they always they make those memes about how crap Wish stuff is.
Yeah.
But everything else, I'm not worried about.
What you expected and what you got.
Yeah. So a couple of people commenting on my feminist story, my picture that I put up. Maybe I'll put that up on Instagram today for those who didn't get to see it. That'll be hilarious.
What would their name be?
Oh, their name
would have to be something.
Their name would probably be.
Sam,
yeah, something which is, yeah, something which you can't really nail down as being male or female. Sam.
But nothing aggressive as well, because I don't want, like, microaggressions.
What's an aggressive, what's an aggressive name, Mbolelo?
Maximilian. Like a no Maximilian. That's a very, it's a little conquery. It's a little conquery. None of that.
Yeah, certainly. No Viking or Roman names, because those are very aggressive,
Yeah, very, Gerhard. No German names either. Yeah, stay away from
patriarchal
Gerhard.
And yeah, that's aggressive. I agree.
Volheim. No Volheim. None of that. Like, There must be
And if for God's sake, you can't have any like Xhosa clicks because that'll really fuck it up. Those are very aggressive.
No, yeah,
oh,
no,
Jesus.
Yeah, none of
that.
Yeah, no.
No speklingesh.
No, none of that.
Oh my God. I'm thinking it's
Sam's good.
Sam is such a. You can't really figure out whether that's a guy or a girl. Yeah, it's very neutral. I like that. Let's go with Sam.
Yeah.
I'll put it up today. But then someone says here, it looks like a British restaurant critic who shushes his wine in front of his mouth. In the front of his mouth, rather. Sorry. Yes, they swirl it around in the glass and they watch for the legs, you know, on the sides of those people, the restaurant critics. Oh, they're the worst. Rebellious Ruth says, I hate large malls, like walk-in centers. The Newcastle Gate is great. There are those enormous, enormous malls. I mean, like the Mall of Africa, you could, if you don't park in the right place at the Mall of Africa, if you don't park in the right place, you might as well take a camping chair and a tent. Because you'll need to spend a lot of time in the mall in between walking from one end to the other. I mean, you literally need a whole weekend. Black Friday, what is it? Says Robin. Sounds like Armageddon. It is. That's all you need to know. It's supposedly this day where we get bargains on things. And then what they do is on the following Monday, they give the online version of those bargains. So
Cyber Monday.
But Black Friday is just, in this country, it's just chaos because people, for some reason, it's always around TVs. I don't know what that is. There's a thing about TVs is that everybody in South Africa is fucking TV crazed. You know, you have like these two-tone shirt-wearing Afrikaans oaks who are like at the front of the queue with big black women who are like literally slavering at the chops for a TV. And they're all like super excited about these TVs that are on special. And then they push down, they break through the glass doors. They're foaming at the mouth for a special. It's unbelievable to me. Very weird.
And I think the aim is to have one in every room.
Maybe.
And I was quite recently in a house where there was one in, they had two living rooms next to each other that bled into each other.
And they both had
a TV. Two big TVs on two different channels.
You know what irritates me about people like that is that they always have all the TVs on and then there's sound interference and you can't think because the one room has got this TV blaring with sport. Other room's got it on with news. I mean, I've got one TV in this whole house of mine and it's in the TV room. And I swear to you, if it gets switched on, I don't know, twice a week, it's a lot.
I read a really interesting...
I haven't switched mine on in months. Mm.
Yeah.
I read a really interesting story about TVs, and it's... I mean, I'm looking for a TV, ironically, and it's going to be in the wrong place in my house, but I'm not wealthy anyway. But the location of your television, behavioral psychologists can deduce your income likelihood by the location of your TV in a house.
Really?
And it was... Yeah. So... It's a really, really interesting study to see how much time like people are spending on TV and the likelihood of them becoming successful.
So what do they say? Like what is the likelihood of success if your TV is in your bathroom, for example?
So what they came to is that television, and some people do have, by the way, I do have a mate who's got an incredible TV in his shower.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't fog up anyway. That's okay. In his shower and it doesn't fog up. The shower.
Yeah, that's super rich. I listen to podcasts in the shower. I've got a little speaker. I've told you about this, that when I get in the shower in the mornings, I can't be in there without some, I can do very little without having something else going on as well. I get so bored and distracted. So I have to listen to podcasts or I'll listen to music. But yeah. I always have that speaker on in the shower. It's not enough for me to just get in and shower.
TikTok. I have to watch TikTok while I'm brushing my teeth.
Really?
Otherwise my mind just, you don't want to go in there. So does your waterproof radio hang next to your soap on a rope?
No, it's got a little like a suction thing, and it just sucks onto the shower door. It's fantastic.
Very good.
But Mbulelo, what do they say about a TV in the bedroom and a TV in the sitting room and what you know that?
No. Bedroom is basically what they're saying is the wealthiest people in the world is they have their TVs in a space where you have to choose to go to the TV.
Yes.
It's not just like a part of your eating situation and whatever. And interestingly, about 2 months ago when I went to work Cape Town Marathon, I went to like an insane house in Gardens. I was fortunate enough to go for supper there. And without knowing what I was talking about, because now whenever I walk in people's houses, I always look, especially when they're doing well, I'm like, oh, I wonder where the TV is. And all of them, it's the same thing. You have to make a very deliberate decision to go where the TV is. And this guy had it set up. And this guy had it set up exactly how the study said. And he's bawling to another level.
Yeah.
To watch TV in his house is a schlep, actually. It's a full-on schlep.
Pain in the ass.
For him to go and watch TV. It was a very interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, in South Africa, maybe it's also a status symbol. That's probably why so many people care about a TV. Because, you know, in the old days, it was a really rare thing. It was expensive. They were big. They were heavy. People had little black and white ones if they weren't very wealthy. And if they were very wealthy there. Do you remember those first big screen TVs that they made? Those huge things that they took up a whole wall in a room. And they cost hundreds of thousands of rands. And they were usually from a projector, either inside the thing or in the room. And those were considered state of the art, and they cost a fortune, but they were really crap quality compared to the, you know, the HD kind of super high definition TVs that you get now and that are a couple of thousand rand by comparison. I always use that as an example for people of why you shouldn't really be too concerned about very rich people. First of all, it's not their fault that you're not rich. However they made their money, through honesty or by a crook, it's got nothing to do with you. Making them poor will not make you rich, if you know what I mean. And then thank God for those rich people who are profligate spenders, because if those people didn't spend, the cost of everything else wouldn't come down for the rest of us. We need those people to buy those really crappy first edition, huge, monstrous 200,000 rand TVs so that we can eventually get them for a couple of thousand rand. If it wasn't for them, the manufacturers would never be able to make the mass-produced better versions down the line, you know.
I mean, I think of robotic vacuum cleaners. They were so expensive in the beginning. And the one I bought because I was obsessed, and it was in the days where I probably shouldn't have had as much money as I did as an adult.
No.
But I spent it on a robotic vacuum cleaner, which was ridiculously expensive because they'd only just come out.
Yes.
And it didn't even come with any sort of pamphlet or warranty because it was all in test phase.
Wow.
So if it broke, it was just a science experiment.
Too bad, yeah.
And now, I mean, yeah, look, South Africa's taking a bit longer to get onto the bandwagon, but houses are coming with these, you know, if you don't have one, you're not cream of the crop, or just like a normal above average income family.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, what happened to your floors? Are you now living in the pits of hell, Gareth, or what's going on there? Does your house stink?
No, so what I did, I think this is quite clever. I put a little fan, one of those little fans that you know, like a desk fan type thing that you have in South African summer just to keep the air moving around your house. I put that down and I moved it steadily down the passage, and I put down some towels and kind of absorbed most of it then. And I used a little bit of talcum powder, which I then vacuumed up, because that obviously absorbs a huge amount of water as well. And it's mostly dry now. So, and there's no smell, thank God. So, you know, I rested it quickly. So luckily I don't have to like take up the floors. And can you imagine how much that would cost? And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not spending a lot of money this December. I'm trying to save money. And if I had to suddenly redo the floors because they were moldy and shit because of flooding, I'd be in big trouble. I mean, that would seriously dent.
But have you?
Dent the
you figured out the source though.
Yeah, well,
was it leaves?
No, this was a once in every 10 years kind of flash thunderstorm. It came down so quickly. In a space of about 30 minutes there was probably 40 mils of rain, and usually, you know, over a period of 24 hours that would be fine, but it was in 30 minutes, and it was just a flash flood basically, and there's just nothing you could do about that. And there are these little balconies outside those doors, and when it floods, it comes in there. So it's there's not much you can do about it. I mean, other than boring holes in the actual balconies, which I'm loath to do. I'll just make sure that those, maybe make those drains a bit bigger. But it's a freak thing. There wasn't anything I could do to prevent it, basically. And you could see because...
So you're not in the mire.
You have to widen the arsehole a bit more.
Yeah, I have to open up the arsehole of the pipe. Yeah. And I'm not in the mire. No, Mbulelo, I'm sorry.
Bleach it. You must also bleach it. You don't just open it up.
Listen, we learned that on Friday. I got an email from someone. Talk about rich people and bleaching arseholes. So Fern, who listens to the show, right, she sent me an email. Fern is like, she's horrified. She said to me, I've been listening in total disbelief to this piece about anal bleaching. There are kids dying in pit latrines, and you're worried that your husband thinks your asshole's too dark. She goes, R1,000 a treatment? That's cheap? Oh, she says, if you're paying 4,000 rand to change your ringtone, considering you need 4 treatments, you have no reason to moan about how crap the economy is. Our priorities are screwed. I could weep. This is why I prefer animals to humans. Regards, Fern. So sometimes, you know, especially if I have a nice relaxing weekend like I had, I took the trouble to reply to her properly. I said, yes, but Fern, that 4,000 rand is not your money. You have no right to tell anyone else what to do with it, right? And frankly, that 4,000 rand that some housefrau in Bewley or in Sandhurst is spending on changing her asshole, that's not your money. You can't tell her to spend that on building a pit latrine for a kid in a rural school, right?
Yeah. I just love that we live in a world where people can be outraged at somebody changing their ringtone.
She's outraged. So I said, people can do what they want with their money, even stupid things. The kids who are dying in pit latrines, horrible as it is, they aren't the kids of that woman getting her anus bleached. She is not more responsible for society than the parents of those children just because she has more money. Everyone has the right to moan about the economy, not just clever people. And your priorities are yours, not hers. Just because life is tough for you or me doesn't mean that some millionaire is responsible for that. This is where communism comes from. Let her bleach her asshole, you know?
This is where the whole difficulty or not should be easier to accept the fact that, you know, a small stipend relatively paid by Elon Musk could solve world hunger. But it's not the world's money.
No, you didn't.
It's his.
You didn't create and develop and improve on the world's best electric car manufacturing business or send a rocket into space. You didn't put your own money up to do any of that stuff. You didn't take the risk. You aren't responsible for paying the staff every month at that business. And if it all goes tits up, which a lot of these businesses can do, especially those ones that are in the experimental parts of the economy, then all the risk is his. So if you want a piece of his profits, then you have to take a piece of his risk. And no one is prepared to do that. That's why there's so few entrepreneurs in the world that actually make it. And you know the other thing? If government want to tax you on your profits, they should also get a piece of your losses. I've always believed this. So if government are going to take...
That's so true.
If they're going to take like 40% of your earnings, then if you have a shit month where you have huge medical expenses and, you know, the deal that you were hoping would happen doesn't happen and you have to sell your shit just to make ends meet that month, then you should be able to say to government, hey, listen, you know that PAYE and that provisional tax I paid you 2-3 months ago? I need that back because I'm about to go under. And they should have to pay you back. Mm. But of course, it'll never happen. It's always about if you're doing well. This is why, you know, and just don't concern yourself with other people's money. Just don't worry about it. It's none of your business. Someone else's money. People are obsessed with this. Even us on the show, we often talk about billionaires and millionaires and, you know, what we would do if we had that money. But we don't, and it's not ours. So we have no right to tell other people what to do. Elon Musk is well within his rights to spend his money on whatever he wants. A lot of these people are philanthropists because they feel a bit of guilt for being so well off when there are people who are bad and who don't have a lot of money. But it's not our business. It's ridiculous. But bleach your asshole if you want it. It's none of our business.
Yeah. Yes. I'm totally with bleach your asshole. I totally agree. But on a-
you know who agrees that you can bleach your arsehole if you want to?
Yeah.
Sam.
Who's that?
Over here. Sam. My gender non-binary.
Sam has a purple arsehole. Don't lie.
Sam is definitely. Yeah. let her bleach in peace, says Onkopots. Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah.
Just do whatever you want. It's it's very, very funny. I think it's hilarious.
No, I think it's...
Michael says on the TV thing, it's now hard for us to function comfortably without constant noise and visual distraction. Silence and darkness are scary to our current generation because if nothing is on, something might be wrong. That's a good point.
I'm the opposite. I love dead silence. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I had the best day yesterday, lying in bed, and there was just the sound of the rain, which is perfect. I didn't feel the need to be on my phone, which was also great. Oh, man, this December, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to is just going on a digital detox as well. I'm not going to be on my phone the whole time. I'm really not. And there's going to have to be really good reasons for me to even check it. Because if we're off from the 24th, I'm not going to check my phone until the 10th unless I absolutely have to. And if I do, it'll be for social reasons or for family reasons. That's it.
I've never been because, I mean, you know, a large part of my job is being on social media for my clients. Mm. And I've never been in a situation where someone's taken over from me, someone that I can trust.
Oh, really? Is that going to happen
check
now?
On things. I'm owed 13 days leave.
Ooh.
And I think if I plan properly and if I just hand over my trust,
yeah,
I could possibly let it go.
Listen, delegation.
And that would be the first time in 20 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cliff Central's in a position now. You know, I took those couple of days off the other day and you guys handled the show so beautifully. I'm not worried about that anymore. But the business, I mean, like we got good people, man. You got Greg, and we've got Bulelo, and we've got Lebang, and we've got Dori, and Simpiwe's really good. She knows what she's doing. I can trust all of you, which is also for me like a big thing because being there every day, which we've done the whole way through lockdown pretty much, has been a concern of mine. Like, oh, got to be on and got to do this, and I'm going to take some leave, man, and all of us should. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing the show live until the 24th, just by the way, so you know. And then that is a Friday, and then we'll be off until probably about the 10th of Jan. And there'll still be stuff on Cliff Central. There'll be lots of things that we will be putting up and scheduling so that there's something to listen to and to pay attention to over that time and to download. And, you know, you can even catch up on old stuff, which you haven't had a chance to yet. We've got so many cool series that are coming online at the moment. So there's going to be stuff on, but it's not going to be, live for those few days. And I'm actually looking forward to it. It'll be nice to take a quick break. All right. So a lot of people commenting on, Katlego obviously saying, and Ask Jane, of course. Yes, of course. That's Katlego, who used to produce for Aria Kelman in the afternoons. And Katlego tells me it was her birthday the other day. So I sent her a happy birthday and she replied to me that she had listened to this. She's going to find the message. Horrible thing. She says, I've had hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Ooh.
What?
So I'm on sick leave. That's what she said. Hand, mouth, and foot disease, Katlego. I mean, Jesus, that sounds horrendous. How do you even get that? In what has she been? Has she been in trenches in World War I, or is she deep in the forest?
She's living with bovines.
Deep in the forest of Borneo. I mean, what the hell's going on? You get foot, mouth, and hand disease. What have you been putting your feet and hands in? And your mouth? It's graceful. Katlego.
That you're getting a manicure to cows.
Mm.
Reminds me of the man who looked homeless. He was homeless. He shook my hand.
Yeah.
And I couldn't say no. And afterwards, he said he was looking for money for his leprosy treatment.
Oh, Jesus, no. Come on. Oh, my God.
SABC parking lot.
Oh, no, no. But you used to meet some funny people in that SABC parking lot because they'd just walk in off the street, remember? They would just walk in. They were often walk-ins. They'd also use those bathrooms.
Use the bathrooms.
Oh, my God. That's why those bathrooms at the SABC were just like a horror scene.
Well, that's where my dreams come from. I think those overflowing bathrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll find out how Katlego got foot and hand and mouth disease.
Remember when they had the hand one's incredible. Remember when they had to shut down the beef industry in Britain?
Yes. Like
wasn't that long ago.
That was mad cow, I think.
Yeah, but there was also foot and mouth. And if you think about it, think about a bovine. They've got 4 feet and a mouth. But when it extends to humans, your hands will be affected. They're just not called feet.
She's answered it. She says, I got it from a baby. It's bacteria that's contagious. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Babies are moving disease centers. They are spreads. Those are super spreader events.
Signet says, foot and mouth is common in daycare. Ugh.
There we go.
That's gross.
Makes sense.
Well, I hope you're feeling better. Yet. How disgusting. I hope. Yeah. What a way to spend your birthday, with foot and mouth disease. Ugh.
I've always thought babies are like as good as it gets in terms of plotting, because I don't really trust babies. I always think they can understand. They know what's going on.
You don't trust babies? I mean, come on.
They're always up to stuff.
They're always up to stuff. You're suspicious of babies.
I'm crying. They know what's going on. Babies know what's going on. I'm telling you.
You're kidding.
I do. I'm not fully in it. Like, I'm not fully with it with babies. Like, people, and you know how people are. Do you want to hold my baby? I say, no, Michelle, I don't want to hold your baby. Get that deceitful thing out of my face. I don't want to hold your baby.
Deceitful.
But also they're either mega resistant to certain things, or they're completely weak when it comes to others. They're very unpredictable.
Yeah. They're pretending.
Hey, listen.
Babies know, trust me.
I think there's something wrong with you if you think babies are deceitful and they're trying to, you know, they're not clever enough to actually have a plan. I just want to quickly one or two headlines before we get to Dr. Hanan. So Adele has got Spotify to take the shuffle button off all album pages. This is pretty weird. She persuaded Spotify to take the shuffle button off of all album pages as tracks play in the artist's own order. Now, I'm sorry, Adele. She says, we don't create albums with so much care and thought into our track listing for no reason. Well, now I'm not allowed to shuffle because Adele has spent a lot of time working on. I don't care about your artistic integrity, honey. There's a song I like and there are three songs I don't, I'm skipping those songs and I want to put them in any order I like, actually.
I understand where she's coming from to a point.
In the case, who buys albums these days? What is this, 1983?
Hang on. I'll get there. She works, her albums work on her life story at the time, which is also why they're called 30, because she's 30, and 22 because she's 22 or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of them. But and just reading from the article, I'm not like such a huge fan that I know these things from a fan base. Her story is all about her divorce, and she wants it to read as a story.
Ugh,
but my whole thing
cares?
Is, if you're that interested in the words and not the music, then, and you're such an Adele fan and you want to hear her story, then you'll listen to them in order.
So apparently,
but don't take that freedom away from me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't care about her divorce. I like her music or I don't. I'm not interested in her personal story. What is this? Listen.
No. For Adele's music to bang, she does need a divorce. There was a 21 wasn't as good as 19. Because 19 was unbelievable. No, I'm a huge Adele fan, by the way.
Okay.
Trust me, when Adele gets a divorce, it's going to slap. The album's going to slap. 21 was terrible. It was terrible because she was happy and she was doing well. 19, that's when they're unhappy and the problems with the dad. And
that was a good one.
All the family stuff. Slapped. 30 is the divorce. Now, whatever the next one is, because she broke up with a guy called Skepta, who's a pretty famous rapper, and that actually got pretty ugly from what I love Adele's music. I mean, getting to see her live was one of the biggest privileges ever for me. But now, her next album is going to be the one that bangs, because this one's about her divorce. Plus, now she's got a black guy thing going. So this was just a plain white guy that she was married to. It's probably not going to be very good. The next one, divorce from Skepta.
That'll be good.
The next album. So don't worry about this one. The next one, Skepta, got ugly. It's going to be awesome.
All right. I'll take your advice. I'm not the biggest Adele fan. You know more than me. But Taylor Swift has apparently released something, and that's all America's talking about at the moment. She got like a 10-minute song where she's complaining about Jake Gyllenhaal or something. And this was years ago. She broke up with him years ago. That chick is just poison. She's poison. Why is her relationship always such a disaster? Every relationship with every dude, that Taylor Swift. That, I mean, honestly, she do not, every guy, yeah. Even if you met her, and she's not an unattractive girl, and she looks like she could be quite boring and self-absorbed, but she's quite hot. She's successful. But do me a favor, if you're a guy and you see her coming, you run a mile, right? Because you know you're going to be in the next song. And whatever happens, it's going to be a disaster for you.
But like she said herself once, no one talks about how many girls Drake is talking about.
Oh, come on.
Usher or Bruno Mars.
A 10-minute song? Poor old Jake Gyllenhaal. He's moved on. He's probably got kids with three other women by now. And now he has to suddenly hear that he's the subject of a 10-minute song with Taylor Swift moaning and whining and bitching about this relationship that was years ago. Get over it. Come on. People don't have real problems anymore, so they make up problems. People don't have problems. Taylor Swift doesn't have a problem in her life. This is the same chick, by the way, who wrote Shake It Off. So come on, why don't you take your own advice, Taylor? Shake it off, honey. Stop complaining. Jesus. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Leave Taylor alone.
I know. You gotta leave everybody alone. It's quarter to seven. Oh my God. Imagine that. What? We've been going for 4 hours. No, it's 6:45. We're going to check in with Dr. Hanan, find out what's happening, and it's going to be okay. So if you are not having the best time, and a lot of us are not, you are dealing with conflicts, you may be nervous about family coming for Christmas, there are issues with your relationship, you can email us, tell us about it. And I know a lot of people prefer to remain anonymous, but come on, you know, we get on the show here, and we share our own stories, Leanne Bolero and I, and we're not going to judge you. We're going to put you on with Dr. Hanan, who's like, he's the best in the business. You can't get an appointment with this man. He's so successful and so good at what he does. And we're going to give him to you for free, but you've got to come on and talk to him. We don't want to respond to an email that says anonymous at the bottom. Sometimes he's going to have questions. If you want to deal with it, if you want to deal with it, email us. contact@cliffcentral.com. We'd like to hear from you. But I did get this email from Rachel. She said she'd like some advice. She says, I'm almost 50 years old. I have a good friend who I've known since we were both 19. Problem is, I don't get along with his wife at all.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Okay, here we go. So let me bring Dr. Hanan in here. All right. How are you, Dr. Hanan? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, it's Monday, and I'm feeling kind of sprightly. I don't know. I hope that'll last the rest of the week and all the way to the end of the year. But this is my favorite time of the year, so I'll be fine. You like
people
the
can taste.
Yeah,
people can taste the end of the year. You know, they can taste the end, Christmas and the New Year and the holidays.
Right,
people are excited.
So let's go to Rachel quickly. So, all right, this is a friend. They've known each other since they were 19. She's almost 50 years old. She says, I don't get along with his wife at all. I feel like she treats him badly, so I try to avoid being around her. This hasn't been an issue, as we've mostly just seen each other alone without our respective partners. In fact, the two of us have met for lunch or coffee almost every week in the last decade or so. So this is a good friendship. Recently, she, the wife, saw a message that I sent him about how I think she treats him badly, and now she's refusing to let him see me at all. She feels that he's betraying her by still being friends with me. After what I said about her, in order to keep the peace at home, he is asking me to comply for the time being. I don't want to lose a friendship of almost 30 years over this. I also feel like he's in an abusive situation, and it's very unfair. But I don't want to make his life more difficult either, so I'm not sure what to do. Wow, this is tough.
Yeah, it's a very complex situation. You know, it happens a lot where one of your friends, somebody that you really love and care about, is dating somebody that you don't approve on. And don't approve on could be from, I just don't like the what they do for a living to actually, I don't like what they do to you and how they abuse you. It's a complicated situation. And as you said at the beginning of this, like, I would love to have asked Rachel a couple of questions. How close is she to this friend? How much does she value this friendship over the truth and over speaking her truth? What I would say as a general rule, when you interfere for the right or the wrong reasons with your friend's relationship, you are putting the friendship on the line. Just take into account that you're risking the quality or the longevity of the friendship. A lot of the times, you know, in therapy, especially beginner therapists or novice therapists, what they do is they see an individual who is in a relationship, and they project their own idea of what the relationship should look like. And they become cowboys, like, you should break up, you should get divorced. But you must understand that relationships are very complex things. You just get a glimpse, you just saw a message, or you just saw one interaction. How do you know what's happening 99% of the other time?
Right.
You just don't have the window to what happens in the bedroom, outside of the bedroom, at the kitchen, on the at the dinner, when they go out, how they interact with their families, and so on and so forth. You don't know what need they're fulfilling in each other. So it's very difficult, and I would never advise anybody to judge any relationship. Just know that when you are confronted, I'm not saying don't speak to your friend. Listen, depending on how close you are to your friend, I would, to my best friend, I would have an honest conversation and say, this is the way I see things. This is what I think. This is my perspective. I will support you regardless, but this is the way I'm seeing things. But maybe to a much more distant friend or a colleague, I would really stay out of it, because it's really not my place.
All right, well,
to say anything.
I mean, I'm just reading between the lines here, and that is dangerous. I agree with you. But this person, this Rachel's been friends with for almost 30 years. They basically see each other every week. It's totally platonic by the sounds of things. It's not as if she's a threat to the wife or she's trying to get romantically involved. It's her friend of 30 years. They sound like they're just good mates, you know?
But the wife sounds
a problem. Like, the wife sounds like she's very controlling, and according to Rachel's email, doesn't sound like this woman is treating her husband very well.
But Dr. Hanan, this is an interesting thing. We were actually talking about this on my show on Friday, and we were talking about when you come in. So let's say in this case, Rachel is a lady with a male friend. But now a lady comes and there's a relationship. Now I believe, because I always say I'm very conservative. I say Rachel, and I'm not an expert, but I'd like to know your take. Rachel must realize her dimension to the guy, even if it's your best friend for 30 years, has to change, because now that best friend slot is taken. This person has made a decision to be in a relationship. Now, what I believe is, I always say now, especially with my lady friends, if you get a dude, I never want to see you without your partner. I know we're friends and whatever, but you've made a call now. I don't need stuff going on in the dude's mind, because I know how guys think, that he's ever thinking, even if we are just platonic friends, there are carnal sort of psychological drivers that I think people try and suppress, is that I don't need a dude thinking like that. I never want to see my female friends, even if we, and this happens. I don't want to see you without your partner if you have a boyfriend now, for these very reasons. And it's an interesting thing for me to hear about from you.
Wow. What do you think of that?
Sure. Look, I mean, the dynamic certainly changes. So take, as you said, a woman, she is best friends with a guy. The guy finds a girlfriend. The dynamic has to change. It has to shift, because suddenly the guy has another woman in his life who he sees as a romantic partner, and she takes up space. So suddenly, when Rachel used to go with her best friend out for coffee twice a week and go for a run once a week and go and, you know, spend whatever with them, she must understand that the other girl in her friend's life, the wife, needs that space. She needs that time. She needs that effort. So listen, the thing is that the dynamic will definitely have to change. But dynamics change all the time. You just communicate through it. So if rules of the game shift, the moment the person, your best friend, gets married or has a girlfriend, rules of the game change the moment they change a job, rules of the game change the moment they leave the country. Room, and, you know, like the rules of the game change all the time. It's really about communication and expectation. But I would say to Rachel, yes, you, to all the Rachels out there that have a best friend, suddenly they get married or they have a partner that doesn't treat them as well as you think they should. Depending on the level of your friendship, you speak up. You speak up with kindness and respect. Just understand that when you do speak up, you risk the friendship changing. You risk the friendship changing. Whether the other partner finds out or they don't find out, you risk the friendship changing because now your friend knows exactly what you feel about their partner. You know, but you get this, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's like your best friend breaks up with their partner and you go, yeah, they were nothing. They were rubbish or they were useless or they were just not good for you. And then they get back together.
Oh, yeah.
That happened to me.
Now you're the problem.
Oh, I lost a 15-year friend because of exactly that. 15-year friend, literally on like the Monday. Sorry, Dr. Hanan. That exact situation happened to me. On, I'd say in the same week, he broke up with her, right? And then obviously back then we were a little younger. Yeah, bro, told you that chick. And then you can imagine a bunch of lads.
Yeah.
Some of the choice things we had to say. And then at the braai on the weekend, who's with her? Who's with him? At the braai on the weekend, that same weekend, there she is giving us daggers. And from that day, we've never been friends with that guy again.
It's game over.
Yeah.
I've got to refer to something here. There are two questions that have come out of this. The first one, Dr. Hanan, if you can address this, is it possible for a guy and a girl to be truly platonic friends? In other words, is it possible for you to have? Okay, well, that's easily answered then. And the other one is from PJ. He says, are relationships natural for us humans? Why do they never last? Romantic, that is. Well, I mean, nothing ever lasts, right? So if you get a good 10 years or 20 years or even more than that out of a relationship, that's phenomenal. But nothing lasts forever. We don't last forever.
So for sure. So to answer the first question, are platonic relationships possible? If the boundaries are clear, if the rules of the game are clear, you can have a very healthy relationship with many people. You get open relationships. You know, people that are in committed monogamous relationship will look at open relationship and go, how do they last?
Yeah.
I've seen couples in open relationships that are healthier, more robust, more interesting, more exciting, more trustworthy than many monogamous relationships. Because it all depends on the rules of the game. Are the rules of the game clear? Is every party playing by the rules? And if so, you can have a beautiful relationship, whether it's a couple or friendship. To this, what was the second question again?
It was about this idea of relationships lasting forever, or why we even bother when nothing lasts. That's according to PJ.
You know what the problem? I'm sure you've read this. I'm sure you've read and heard about. You know, I mentioned this maybe to you in private on the show. I don't remember. My oldest patient was a 94-year-old German woman. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me in one of the sessions, she said, Hanan, when I was growing up, time was time. And I said to her, what do you mean? And she said, think about it. If I wanted to communicate with a friend of mine that lived in another province, I would write them a letter. It would take 2 weeks to get there. They would write me a response. It would take 2 weeks to get back. Mm-hmm. It would take a month to say, hey, how are you doing? Fine, thanks, and you. These days, God forbid you send a text, it's read and it's not responded to within the next 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. You can create World War VII with not responding or blue ticking someone. What's happening with the latest generation is that we are very much addicted to immediate gratification, to quick fixes. And the truth is, the reason why we're becoming addicted to quick fixes is because there's a lot of choice. If you don't answer with an SMS, I'll WhatsApp you. If you don't answer with WhatsApp, mm-hmm. I'll email you. If you don't answer with email, you know, there's always options to satisfy and gravitate towards me immediately satisfying that need that I want, mm-hmm. which is to contact you. So now the generation has become, we've got so many options and I can really satisfy that immediate gratification, translates and bleeds into relationships as well.
Right.
If you do not satisfy my needs, it's very easy. I just go on Tinder and I will satisfy my needs.
I'll find someone else.
So, of course, within a split second, what did they do 20 years ago? You know, if my need wasn't satisfied, I'd have to have a conversation with you. It would be much more difficult. It would be many hoops to jump through in order to find somebody else. These days, you can have 5 dates, 5 nights of the week, in just not, but not even leaving your bedroom.
Yeah, I've got a friend.
You can just swap.
I got a friend. He literally schedules Tinder dates. He does one on a Tuesday, then on a Wednesday, then on a Thursday. I mean, ironically, he's now found a girlfriend, and it seems like he stopped that. But for a couple of weeks last year, that was what he was doing. He'd have to actually he was lining them up. He's like, okay, I'm going to see this girl on the Tuesday, then I'll see that one on the Wednesday, this one on the Thursday, that one on the Friday. I mean, the guy had, a plentiful supply by the looks of things. But also, this is where, and maybe we should address this in a future episode of this too, especially as we head to the end of the year. This is why this hookup culture is so toxic and so dangerous, because no one's actually getting what they want out of it. You may get the instant gratification stuff you're talking about, but this is where people just end up being so dissatisfied at a complex and meaningful level, because these things are fleeting. There's no real.
Yeah, but you don't have to commit. You don't have to commit.
But there's no real getting to know
anybody.
Because
you've got options.
You don't actually.
But why would I?
Yeah.
The moment you stop behaving, I just swap right and I find somebody else.
Yeah, it's true.
You're very replaceable. Again, like 20 years ago, it would be much more difficult. These days, if you don't do as I expect you to do, then I just swap right and I find somebody else that will do as I do. So, but to answer the question in a split second, relationships are the most natural thing. We survive in relationships. I'm not saying romantic relationships. I'm saying friendships and civility and society happens because we're connecting to other people. So relationships are natural, but you got to change and communicate through the rules of the game in order to make it work.
I love it. It always seems like we don't have enough time, but please, if you've got a specific issue you want Dr. Hanan to address, because it's fine when we talk generally like this, and you know, Rachel's email is very specific, but if you let us know whether there's this real problem you're dealing with in your life and you want us to help you unpack it, and Dr. Hanan's the expert, and you know, come on the show. We will make it really comfortable and easy for you. We're not here to like mock and ridicule and judge. And for all you know, you might be helping other people who are in a similar situation. So come on down, let us know, send us an email at contact@cliffcentral.com. Maybe you've also got someone at work who you're just not getting along with. I mean, maybe we can help you figure that out too. It doesn't always have to be in the personal realm. Doctor, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Nice to see you guys.
Have an awesome week, and we will catch up with you next week. Thanks, Dr. Hanan.
Lovely.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Yeah. Wow.
That's a real issue, by the way.
Yeah.
That one hits home for me. I'm currently going through something there. Wow. Rachel's in hell.
Yeah. Yay. Poor Rachel. Also, I mean, you know, if you lose a friendship of 30 years, you feel like you really lost something. That's that. Talk about a sunken cost.
No, you mourn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, suppose people also have their shit to deal with, hey? If you don't have those constant worries and problems, consider yourself lucky.
Or a liar.
Or a liar.
We all have stuff.
Yeah, or a liar.
Yeah.
We all have
stuff. Relationships bring complexities and possibly problems that might not have been there that you have to solve.
Mm.
But on the other hand, relationships are there to help you solve other complexities from other situations that have arisen and help you solve other problems.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've got lots of other things to get into in the next bit of the show. We've reached 7 o'clock, and you got to stick around, because on the other side of this, we've got Collectomania and plenty of other stuff. Leanne also has some obscene hand gestures from around the world, which I know you can't wait to check out. So if you are watching us on YouTube live this morning, you can get to learn some rude hand gestures from all over the world. And if you're listening on the podcast, then you can obviously catch up by, we'll describe them. We're not going to just leave you out because you're listening instead of watching. But you can also drop us a comment and email us, as I said, not just for Dr. Hanan, but anything else, contact@cliffcentral.com. All of that and more on the way. It is a beautiful Friday morning. Monday morning. God, listen to me. Monday morning. And I hope you
Frum's
had
Day.
Frum's Day. And I hope you had a good weekend. CliffCentral.com.